everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And if you want to have a priceless experience, then you'll stay tuned to Mega Powers Radio. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
What's shaking, Mega Maniacs? It's Monday, June 8th, and it's time for the Monday night tradition here on Mega Powers Radio, the Raw Post Show, the most interactive post-Raw experience available. We want you to get involved all throughout the night. Tell you how to in just a moment. First, I want to tell you some other ways you can support the show. Number one way you can keep us going here on the air at Mega Powers Radio is to head to our Patreon account. That's patreon.com/megapowersradio, where you can give a monthly donation to help us keep running as little as $1. If we had $1 from every single one of our fans, we'd be able to upgrade our account, get a really badass website, take things to the next level. So if you want to help Mega Powers Radio continue achieving what we're doing, please join us on patreon.com/megapowersradio. Other good ways to support us: keep joining us live here every single Monday night following Raw on megapowersradio.com. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, and of course find all the links to these very easily at sparkoutmoment.com. So, as I said, you can get interactive with this show at any point. We have the chat room already running nicely. Shout outs to the folks who got here early. Creepers on the Radar, Ferris419, Silent Wind of Doom, and Wazili. We also have the phone lines are going to be opening up around 11:30, which actually isn't too far from now. We're almost went pretty late. Number to dial in to get on there is area code 760-512-7247. You can also join us via the Skype icon at the top of the broadcast page. And of course, social media as well. Twitter, at Raw Post Show. Facebook, join the Mega Maniacs Facebook group. We'll be taking comments from you in all of those places throughout this broadcast. In the meantime, we're going to get started with the panelists that are here. My name is Mike Payton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio. With me tonight, we got the Every Night Delight, Drew White.
And the host that could boast the most, as one might say.
Sure. We also got the host of Awaygo Rants, Addicted to Anime, and Unanimous Decision MMA. When the hell was the last episode of either of those things, Steven Awaygo?
Well, I got halfway of recording Awaygo Rants, and then I thought it'd be a better idea to do another episode of Sean.
Wanker Rants?
Yes. So there is a new Wanker Rants coming soon.
Yes. Okay, that makes up for it. Lastly, Mr. Tony Mango, the president of SmartGoutMoment.com and Fanboys Anonymous.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
So, it was a weird Raw we had tonight. We got some build going to our Money in the Bank pay-per-view, but in the end, I think overall it was a missable show. A few fun moments, but it still just seems like we're just coasting along through this summertime. Let me ask the hosts, what's the number one thing you took from the show tonight? Drew?
I have two number one things. My first number one thing is that Kevin Owens, still a badass, along with John Cena. That's amazing. But number two, we figured out what R-Truth's gimmick is. He's just a guy who thinks he's in every multi-man match at every pay-per-view.
Wow, it only took him like 15 years to get that character nailed.
Exactly.
Steven, what'd you take away?
I'm taking away that I'm enjoying the mid-card acts a lot more than the main event.
And Mr. Tony Mango, what'd you get?
You guys know that Ted 2 is coming out?
Where the hell did that come from? What the fuck?
I have no idea, but after seeing about 15 commercials and then having them do that, that just kind of stuck out to me.
Yeah, that was really annoying because it was on every commercial break. And then it's like, hey, you know what you need in between your Ted? More Ted.
I was watching TBS earlier today, and they mentioned that they were going to do a preview on USA and on TBS later in the evening. So I was like, oh, yeah, that's that one thing I saw about earlier today. So I wasn't surprised about it at all.
Is Ted 2 a Universal picture?
I think it is. It's, that makes sense. Ted 1 was.
Okay, yeah, then that makes sense because Universal, NBC, USA, they're all tied together.
I'll still take the TED 2 commercials over the Crystally Knows Best ones. Then again, I had both of that shit tonight.
What about like every Sonic commercial that they show? I think I saw like 5 of them tonight.
Yeah, but they're funny. Yeah.
Yes, but if the New Day wants to do them as well, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, but I mean, the promos they do on Raw is fine, but just like seeing the guys like, yeah, look at all these blast badges I got.
How about Raw?
Yeah, but with the Sonic commercials, at least they're using WWE guys and they're continuing their gimmicks through this. What does WWE get out of the TED commercial?
Nothing. They just don't get yelled at by USA.
I thought they had like USA in the cup of their hands.
I think that was the misconception they had. And then when they tried to get more money out of them, they realized how much their value really was.
I think instead of them having USA in the cup of their hands, I think that they're cupping their balls.
It's still the highest rated show on USA. So yeah. In the end, I'm pretty sure USA is not looking to lose them.
And if they do lose them, they could just go to Destination America.
Sure. They'll all be happy about that. Yeah. So let's dig into the Raw, starting with the opening segment. Amazingly, it was not a freaking authority segment, which is funny because I saw this joke article going around that it was like a spoiler for the opening segment of Raw. And they were saying it was going to be another boring ass authority segment. And they're like, nope, we're going to send out John Cena first. John Cena comes out doing his usual start shtick, talking about how he's going to do the United States Open Challenge. But he's answered by Kevin Owens, who comes out and says instead, we should do an NXT Championship Open Challenge. John Cena says he accepts. Kevin Owens says no way because they're facing on Sunday. So instead, it gets answered by Neville. Very cool. Neville, a former NXT champion in his own right. Not sure why he would want to go back. But hey, a belt's a belt. They have a pretty fun little matchup there. Neville getting a lot of great hope spots. But unfortunately, in the end, Kevin Owens, being the brute he is, gets him down with the pop-up powerbomb. John Cena was on commentary throughout this match and was not offensive. He was very much added to it. He was helping put over both of those guys in the match. And there's nothing offensive about the segment whatsoever. Well, what do you guys think about it?
Cena was a little bland, though. Like, his commentary really just felt like bullet points that were, like, exposition. You know, he's like, well, Kevin Owens is really good at this and whatever, and at the pay-per-view, I'm going to win, but it's going to be tough. And it's like, I know, I get it. Can you call him an asshole or something? Like,
I disagree with you. I found that he was serious for a change, and he was countering Michael Cole's points, and that's why he was being so short. It was kind of like, well, Kevin Owens did A, B, and C to you. What do you think about that? Yeah, well, let's see if you can do it on fucking Sunday.
The one thing I really took away is like John Cena, if like he ever got into the commentary, I think he could be a solid color commentator down the line.
That is not going to be John Cena's end.
I know. Yeah. I know. No. I know that. But no, just like imagine him as a color commentator. He sounded very believable. He was fucking better than JBL, at least for the one thing he was on. For me, I enjoyed it. You know, I enjoyed the segment. I enjoyed him on commentary. It was refreshing. I can't remember the last time John Cena actually sat down and did commentary at the table for a while. It's been a long time. So I enjoyed that and along with the match. So I can't complain about it.
Silent Wind of Doom in the chat saying, when you say not offensive, it sounds to me like Cena wasn't screaming his usual racist hate speech.
Yeah, the point.
Well, we'll be down for that. What the hell?
We'll get to something racist on the show a little later. But as far as the match with Kevin Owens and Neville, what you guys got to say about that?
Oh, this was a solid outing by both of those guys. Neville's actually stepped up his game since coming to the main roster. I always found his NXT exploits to be just spot after spot after spot. He's got the hang of telling a story now, and it's really showing. And Kevin Owens is just great no matter what he does, so a combination of the two of them is great. And Jesus Christ, who's fucking like sitting in a tornado right now?
I don't know, is it you?
Shit, maybe it is, and maybe I'm the only one hearing that.
Do you see a cow flying around?
We are missing a cow.
Oh, too sad.
Cena gives him a polite standing ovation at the end of the match. Kevin Owens invites him into the ring. Cena gets in there. Kevin Owens walks away. Typical heel shtick.
You know what? When it comes to the match, there were the two suplexes that Neville did back to back, where he throws him against the rope and just has a suplex immediately afterwards, and then just straight up deadlifts him into a suplex. That was fucking incredible because we talked about it before how Adrian Neville was really like, he isn't like the biggest when it comes to like muscles, but he is just like all around, you could just tell that he is just athletic and that he actually is centered enough to actually pick a guy up off the ground. And I thought that was really impressive that he was able to Cesaro that one.
What do you mean by the big stem muscles? He's just muscle.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think Tony was trying to tell us before that he wasn't that big.
He's as not in, like, tall, but he's got like 0% body fat.
Yeah.
Way to throw Tony under the bus. Hey, Tony, remember when you said that thing that you may have not said?
No, he said that. I remember that.
Pretty sure I said that his name was something completely different and, you know, a bunch of other crap too. No, so he's
Fat Devil.
He's muscular. He's just not tall.
What do you think about the comparisons of Triple H and John Cena, Tony?
What, to Neville? Wait, what?
Taking the piss out of you.
So we have Triple H and Stephanie McMahon who are playing with their phones as Seth Rollins walks in. They're talking about how Dean Ambrose has been posting on Instagram all day about how he's traveling all over Bourbon Street and various other parts of New Orleans. In the end, Seth Rollins basically just has to back up his words that he had last week of saying he can do everything on his own. Will he be able to? I guess we'll find out throughout the show. We have Renee Young with Nikki Bella. She's saying that Paige has to back up what she's saying, blah, blah. Something about Summer Rae. And then we have a match with Summer Rae and Nikki. Nikki wins via pinfall. Fuck. Anything about this?
Fucking abysmal interview with, I believe it was
Nikki,
the bigger Bella.
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ, when she is playing a heel, she is truly obnoxious, and it's not because of her great acting. It's quite the opposite. She's that bad of an actor. I just can't stand her.
Mm.
Especially when she says, oh my God, I want to fucking just punch her in the face or turn off the TV.
It could be worse.
And then they did a worse thing. They let her wrestle.
Come on, Nikki.
Anything else anybody got to say?
Come on. Her finisher looked good tonight, but that's about the only thing that was looking good, other than some
Sucked. Sucked.
Yeah.
Sucked.
Roman Reigns comes out to talk about how he plans on winning the Money in the Bank ladder match. However, he is interrupted by Kane, who is interrupted by Dolph Ziggler. Then Kane tries to speak again, and he's interrupted by another Money in the Bank participant. Oh, wait, no, he's interrupted by R-Truth. R-Truth comes out and starts talking about how he conquered his fear of ladders at WrestleMania, but Kane cuts him off. He's like, what are you even doing out here? You're not in the match on Sunday. R-Truth is swore he was, but he's like, oh, my bad. My bad. Okay, I'll let you. Have a good night, New Orleans. That was one of the best character moments for R-Truth. It's followed up by The New Day finally coming out, and I can only suspect that when they sent the guy to the back locker rooms, they grabbed the wrong black guy for this segment. They're really continuing that, straddling the line of this. Like, they did it when they did that pin with Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, and no one's even saying anything about this.
I'm surprised Rusev isn't attacking all of them. Remember, he went through that phase where he was just attacking every black guy in WWE.
No, he can't attack. He has that broken ankle now.
So is that why he's fighting John Cena? Because John Cena used to think he was black. Finally, we settle this segment down a little bit, and Kane's trying to tell everyone that there's going to be one-on-one matches of each participant in the Money in the Bank, which didn't we do that last week? Did I miss that?
Last week was, I think, to qualify. This week was to Boris.
Oh, no, they had Roman Reigns to qualify. That was I think all the other participants had one-on-one matches.
Oh, yeah, most of those guys that lost matches, yeah, they qualified.
Well, we had Sheamus versus Randy Orton. First time ever.
Really?
Yeah. No.
They advertised it as that?
No, they didn't.
I hope not.
I was going to say, if they advertised it like that, then fuck them.
They've done that before, but no, they didn't do that for this.
It's best Cole's not sitting there going, I swear to God, I've never seen these two.
Sheamus tries to introduce a chair into the match, but Orton manages to get it away from him. Hits Sheamus with it. The referee calls for the bell. Sheamus with a victory via disqualification. Really nothing else of note to say throughout this. You've seen one match between these two. You've seen them all. Lots of headlocks, lots of punches, and that's about it.
Randy Orton's character has just fallen so far. It doesn't matter if he's a heel or babyface anymore. He's not evolved. Like, even John Cena evolved something about him. If it's just a new shtick, or now he's adding new moves to his repertoire. And then there's Orton. 10 years of staleness.
He's getting some gray in his beard.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. It's about the only evolution he's getting.
No, no, he got shoulder pads. He got some more tattoos.
That's he, evolution.
He got rid of his knee pads and he brought them back.
He stopped actually tanning and started spray tanning.
he went bald.
And yet Randy Orton's a Sean Walker guy and he hates Roman Reigns. I don't get it.
Well, to be fair, we always say that Randy Orton might not get like the best reputation, but he's not a bad wrestler at all.
No, I think he's arguably, if someone said he is the best wrestler in WWE, I'd hear their argument out for it. There's definitely a case for it if you're just on about old school style of wrestling.
I believe that argument 2-3 years ago. I can't find that to be truth anymore.
Who'd you put above him in WWE right now?
Seth Rollins, Neville.
Ambrose?
I don't know about Ambrose. I think he's still got a little good to go.
I wouldn't put Neville above him.
What about Owens?
Probably Owens. If you're talking about purely in ring work, I would even put like Dolph Ziggler ahead of him still. As bored as I am with him as a character, he still knows how to move around in that ring.
Orton's just been phoning it in. Like, he doesn't seem to care. He's good enough doing nothing.
Well, I think it's just this part of his career. He's old. His body has been abused all these years. He doesn't have to take those chances anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish they'd do something different with him, or he'd add something different.
A new finisher would be nice. As cool as the RKO is, if he just did something different.
Did he ever have a submission finisher?
No, he didn't. And there was only one character that would have worked for that when he was going through that fucking psycho phase. I think lost opportunity now.
When he was like sticking his tongue out all the time?
Yeah, and fucking having a meltdown in the Iron Man match with Cena and shit.
You know what they need to do with Orton? They need to give him a storyline. Not exactly this, but kind of like how Daniel Bryan was working with the Wyatt family for a little bit. And people have, like, you know, been converted over to the Ministry of Darkness or stuff. You know, I think that Orton could use kind of a reboot like that. Not a complete reboot, obviously. You're not going to change his character like Skip Sheffield and the Ryback. But, like, you know, make Orton... I don't know. Maybe he goes nuts.
I think that kind of was what they did when they put him into the Authority. That was like a shot into the arm of him. And now that's
a little bit. But at the same time, he still was just kind of Randy Orton, but an ass. Instead of being Randy Orton, a babyface ass.
Yeah, the last heel run of Randy Orton, it's, yeah, fucking world champion. Do my pose now.
No, I'm not. Oh, no.
Well, it's better than that time when he wasn't doing his pose.
I know. I hated that. He used to bug the piss out of me. It's like, I'm going to walk to the ring really slow. Now I'm going to wrestle really slow. I'm going to leave
then
really
slow. I'm going to walk back. Damon, treat me to it.
And actually, that was probably one of his best character moments. So that was when he had, what the hell was that trio called?
Legacy,
yeah.
What if he did everything else like that? Like, they're like, oh, can you sign this contract? And he's like, all right, hey. And like, oh, fuck, Randy, come on, man.
It must be horrible to be stuck behind him in line in, like, a fucking toll booth or something.
Maybe that's how he leverages himself for a better contract. He just takes forever to sign it.
They're like, what are you going to order at McDonald's? And he's standing there in the line, and he's looking, and they're like, can you at least point? And he's like, I don't raise my arms. Not anymore.
They really dropped the ball with the whole RK out of nowhere vines when they were popular.
Yeah, they really fucked up on that. That was the perfect time to push him.
Well, what were you going to do?
Have him RKO people out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's like his whole gimmick.
It doesn't even matter if it's an in-ring, out-ring. You can just fucking do it to a fan. I don't care.
I don't know. You remember that one segment backstage when it was DX and just Shawn Michaels just goes around RKOing random people in the back? Just fucking do that for Randy Orton.
Wasn't he doing something, though? Wasn't he, like, injured or doing a movie or something?
He was doing a movie, yeah, but when he came back, they could have not done that thing. Oh, I don't want to be an Authority, but I guess I'll be in the Authority. He should have just came back and RKO'd all the Authority.
You could have brought back that fucking, like, Get Well Randy segment. Instead, it's just Orton, RKO, and Doctors. It'd be great.
We want to hear what you got to say about this situation with Randy Orton, Sheamus, everything else that happened on Raw tonight in the build to Money in the Bank. We got the phone lines are going to be opening up after I finish doing these plugs. Shout out to all the folks in the chat room still chatting things up. I can't even follow what the hell you're talking about. Something about dick pics and whatever the hell they're talking about.
But we were talking about Seth Rollins.
Oh, wonderful.
You guys have a point.
That was a while ago. Yeah, they're talking about Chris Benoit. A blackface Orton? What the fuck are you guys talking about?
Is he going to be the new like New Day member that they get confused about?
He has a black face and an orange body. Yeah, it's going to work. We're going to be opening up the phone lines now. We already got a few callers in queue. If you want to get yourself in soon, start dialing the number on your phone, 760-512-7247. You can also join us via Skype by pressing the Skype icon at the top of the page. First caller we're going to be bringing on, though, they're from the 646 area code. Caller from 646, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Aisha, guys. What's up?
Oh, my God, it's Aisha. Good to have you back, Aisha. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Oh, we're all doing amazing. I just got back from a vacation this weekend. I went to a music festival, time of my life. Good to be getting back to the grind, though, back to watching Raw and chatting with all of you. I know you had some things you're up to, too. How you been doing?
Yeah, I've been doing good. School's about to end next week, so just right here.
You're graduating?
Just talking about Raw. No, I'm actually in my junior year next year.
Oh, well, what are you studying?
I'm actually in high school.
Oh. Oh, well, what
so you're studying standardized testing, right?
You're studying how to be a...
Yeah, well, I got to do it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm actually going to take SACS next year, so...
SACS?
I got to do a lot. I'm studying... I got to try to get accepted to a college next year.
You're going
to
play the saxophone?
Yakety sax.
Oh, no, sax.
SATs.
Oh. I thought you were going to play the saxophone. Like, you start playing it so you can get a scholarship for your saxophone. Anyway, what did you think about Raw tonight?
What did you think about Dean Ambrose with that saxophone?
Well, I actually didn't like watch like the hour like to like an hour and a half because I was watching the U.S. versus Australia game, which was good by the way. Mm. So I was able to catch up by the 9:30 mark, and I saw people saying the first half was all right, whatever. But I was able to catch up, seeing Neville and Owens, which is pretty good. Mm. What I can remember, Captain Rowan there, Divas were there, Jamie Noble and Drew Mercury.
Oh, that was an amazing main event.
Yeah, that was awesome. What was Jordan Mercury doing his little thing? Jamie Noble.
It was good to hear him speak again. Would you like to see these guys come back for a full time capacity, or is this just fun for one thing for you?
The crowd seemed to like it. I liked it too. I wouldn't have a problem with them doing a one-time thing or doing matches and whatever. They're entertaining. They're fun to see, so I don't have a problem with them.
We had a lot of arguing tonight over who thought they were going to win the Money in the Bank. Who are you picking as your favorite for that match?
I see Roman Reigns winning, like, Dolph. No. Kofi, we know, no. Kane, why is he in this match? Who else is in there? Sheamus? Probably, but no. Nah, Reigns is going to take this.
You should have said no to everyone.
Be a good gimmick. What about the main event this Sunday? It's Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins for the WWE Championship. Even though Seth Rollins is the champion, Dean still has the title even after the events of tonight. Who do you think's walking away with it on Sunday, though?
Well, I see Rollins retaining. I don't see Dean Ambrose holding the belt because actually they want to save that for later, but probably get Reigns to get it first. But yeah, it should be a good match. They both have good chemistry. They both had good matches together, so it should be good. But I see Rollins retaining.
And do you expect Roman Reigns to cash in that Money in the Bank?
It could be interesting, but they're probably going to do it that early. You want, like, like, to be honest, do they think they want to win his first championship on a B-level pay-per-view? Nah, they want to save that for Mania or something, or probably SummerSlam, but Probably not, but it could happen. You never know.
Yeah, we'll have to wait until Sunday. You'll be watching Sunday, right?
Yeah, I will. Of course I will.
Awesome. I can't wait for that. Another big Sunday. WWE keeps bringing us these, and they're getting more and more often. They're almost straddling the territory where they were a few years ago when they had like 15 pay-per-views in a year, and it seemed like way too much. It doesn't seem as bad now. I don't know why. I can handle it a little better now. Maybe it's a bolter, or maybe it's because they were trying to do the brand split back then. Not sure. But Aisha, any other thoughts about Raw tonight from you?
Yeah, Raw was meh. I enjoyed my, by the way, US One story. I enjoyed that game better than Raw, to be honest. But I guess I'm looking forward to Money in Bank, and should be good.
Did you watch the big horse race this weekend?
The what?
The big horse race.
Oh, that horse that won the Triple Crown. I just heard about it.
That was a really big deal. It was such a big deal. The festival I was at this weekend stopped in the middle of the show and showed the race on the screens that were in front of the stage.
Really?
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. I was like, why is this on?
I mean, a lot of sports happened that weekend. Like the game won with the Cavs and Golden State, the World Cup, the French Open, and like all
hockey's
that stuff.
Going on.
Wow.
A lot of stuff happened this week.
All right, Aisha, your high point and low point for tonight's Raw, your favorite and your least favorite part.
I would say high point, definitely J&J Security, because those guys made me laugh, and low point. R-Truth, I don't know.
Oh, no. I thought that was fun. But yeah, I'm not even going to touch that again.
Money in the Bank, how does this guy like go into like big deal championship matches? Like, it's ridiculous. It's like,
oh, this guy just gets handed stuff all the time. Let's not forget, he's the one who beat the streak. And I'm not talking about Undertaker's. I'm talking about the real streak that mattered. Bo Dallas's streak.
Yeah.
All right, Aisha, we got a lot of other callers we're going to get to. It was great hearing from you again, though. I'm glad things are going well. Good luck finishing out the year, and we'll talk to you again.
All right, no problem, guys. Nice to hear you guys again.
Have a good night. All right, we still got a few callers in queue, but if you want to get yourself in line, make sure you pick up your phone. Dial 760-512-7247 is the number to dial, and we'll get you here live on the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw Post Show here on MegaPowersRadio.com. Shout-outs again to all the folks we have here in the chat room. We got 5x Combo, Creepers on the Radar, Ferris 419, Wazili, Silent Wind of Doom. That's probably the best one I've given in a while, so there you go. Everybody gets one once in a while.
And then Drew ruined it.
Everybody has a price for the $1 million Doom.
Sure. All right, so we'll come back to the phone calls in just a minute. I just want to do another segment that we had tonight. We had Seth Rollins in the back on his cell phone. Who knows who he was talking to, but J&J Security walks in, and they're talking about how they know that it's been a rough week for Seth Rollins, but they know that they want to be there to support him and that they forgive him for what he said, and they want to be there on Sunday in his corner. Rollins says, are you kidding me? You forgive me? I don't need you guys. I never needed you guys. Noble finally had enough, tells him that he can go screw himself. Eventually, they're slapping each other. It got really intense for a moment, so much so that Joey Mercury broke his silence after months and months of playing the silent one, spoke up, and told Seth Rollins that tonight they're kicking his ass. Huh. That was fun.
I think this might be a subtle nod to a story that broke recently about from a Seth interview where he talked about how he almost lost his job in WWE because he was so sick of being in developmental, and it was actually Joey Mercury that set him straight. So they have a whole relationship, and he says he owes Joey his career, so I thought it might be a subtle nod to that, or it's just a coincidence. Either way, it was a fun segment.
Seth Rollins should have played up the idea that there's a bunch of ladders around the ring and that Joey Mercury should be afraid. I was cool seeing him stand up, though, instead of just like Jamie Noble being an idiot. Yeah, that's what I was going for. but no, have him be like, yo, no, we're going to kick your ass. It's like, yeah, kick his ass, you know, fucking awesome. Instead of just like, all right, well, you know. we're going to lose. And Jamie Noble with the whole, like, oh, by golly, good old Sally says that I, whatever, like.
Tarnation.
Yeah, what tarnation are you doing? Are you going to be telling us that? Oh, well, darn tootin', I'm not going to stand for that. Yep. Like,
I'm a little upset that they split the Shield 2.0 up, though.
Yeah, yeah. Joey Mercury is definitely a way better Dean Ambrose.
Jamie Noble is definitely the better.
He's really switched that up. The two
of you. Yeah. Well, I mean, I thought Extreme Rules was the Elimination Chamber last week, so you never know.
Mercury and Joey Noble.
I used to call him Titus Young, so.
No, that's probably the easiest way to like describe them.
Yeah, I don't have time to be saying both team members' names. So
it's like Lundrick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't that have like, don't they have a name for that when you like smush names together?
It starts with
yeah, a fucking lazy.
No.
It starts with a P, I think.
A paleophonic something?
Oh, and I'm drawing a blank.
That's just when the same word is spelled the same backwards as it is forward.
No, that's a palindrome.
Oh, it's not.
That one I know. That's a palindrome. Well, if you know what it is, shout it out in the chat room or hashtag Raw Post Show. Let us know what the hell that is. Anyway, Portmanteau. That's it. There you go.
It would take me a minute there.
Well, that sounds French. Portmanteau. Oh.
It probably is French.
Yeah.
Oui, oui.
Pretty sure it was made up by Los Matadores.
All right, let's bring on our next caller. It is a longtime fan of the show, called in many times. He's been on our good side. He's been on our bad side. Let's see where he ends up tonight. It's the Silent Wind of Doom.
Biggie was correct.
Biggie?
The correct answer is peanut butter fudge. Yes, the Sonic commercial did its job. I went and tried both shakes and what?
What?
The Sonic commercial last week. It actually made me like, those both sound delicious. I must try them. They got my money. They sucked my money out of me. And yes, peanut butter fudge is better than strawberry cheesecake. They're both pretty good though. Also, trifold wallet, obviously, but raw. We're getting.
I don't want to listen to people fucking talk about Sonic shakes. If I wanted that, I'd go listen to JR's podcast.
Yeah, who paid you to come onto our show and start talking about this shit?
And how did the trifold wallet people get to you too? That's bullshit. Trifold.
This isn't even a fucking all talk show, dude.
Trifold would be too big. Yeah. Trifold fits right in your palm of your hand.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it also goes better in your pocket.
Yeah, it fits great in your pocket. It's wonderful.
Oh, Creepus Under Radar got himself muted because he said what so many times.
good job by responding to the crowd with the what's. That was a fun segment. I enjoyed that segment. I enjoyed Ryback out psychologizing The Miz, which has got to hurt. Kind of figuring out his plans. If that even was his plan, Ryback could have just been talking out of his bum. But it was a good segment. I was just disappointed that they used up the spot of him. I don't know if he's done that before, if he's picked up show and dropped him before, but nope. That was a pretty awesome spot, which would be great to see on Sunday, but we got the fight.
That was a big, big misstep. That was something I was going to bring up when we got to the segment. So just like WWE, you ruined it and blew it early.
Since we're talking about that, the best thing they could have done is have him scramble off his shoulders and run. And you tease the spot for the pay-per-view. But
I would say do like they do with Mark Henry, where he's just too heavy and he just squashes him. Then Big Show just leaves looking strong, standing tall.
Telling you, he just needs to pick up two Big Shows.
They've done that with all the other big guys. They've done two Undertakers. They've done two Canes. Why haven't we done two Big Shows yet?
Yeah. Hell, why don't we have a midget guy come out and have him be Little Show?
Wait, I know why they can't do two Big Shows, because there's no tall people anymore.
There's a... what's his face? The guy that they fired.
Big Cass.
The one who was the fake Kane.
Alberto Del Rio?
Gallows. Oh, no. He's talking about Festus, yeah.
Yeah. He can come back and be fake Big Show.
Were we looking at that website that was showing like indie equivalents to current wrestlers and their doppelgangers? And they had Bobby Dutch was like a mini Big Show. Big Show Jr. Not to be confused with Rock Jr.
Good old Rock Jr.
Yeah, Cheeseburger reminds me of Kofi. Both great high flyers.
Mmm. And delicious. Love Jamaican food. And Jamaican drums.
Steel drums.
So, you selling any?
So, Stella, what'd you think about Raw?
I had a real good time today. If I discuss Rusev and Lon, is that also going to be blowing up your spot too early?
No, nobody cares about that.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know if it's because he wasn't coming out dressed as some kind of superhero wrestler guy and just in a sweatsuit or what, but. Watching that, I was just kind of like, they're a little bit too good at that. It's a little too real. It looks like something I just see out on the street on Newburgh driving through, just this couple just screaming at each other. It's kind of uncomfortable.
You do see that in Newburgh a lot. In fact, you see lots of people just screaming at each other in the streets, usually Jamaicans. Bumba Clot!
Bumba Clot, who's your?
Fucking hell.
Call me now.
I don't think they scream that in the streets.
Miss Cleo does.
No, she's in jail.
Is she really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
This made my day.
You would think that she would have gotten out before the cops had gotten there.
You would have think she would have saw that coming.
R-Truth was just... cracked me the frig up. Although it was disappointing when he said he got over his fear of ladders. I thought we were going to get to see now the journey of him getting over his fear of spiders, but it didn't come up. I'm kind of disappointed by that.
That would be a really good story.
There was a little thing that they filmed backstage with Tom Phillips where he was like, I don't know what happened there. You need to explain to me. I mean, I'm over my fear. Watch. And then he goes over to a ladder and he's just like, yeah, what are you going to do now? Huh? What's up? See? So good.
He pushes the ladder and it just collapses and falls on him.
They should do that thing. I saw this YouTube video where this guy dressed up his dog in a spider costume and that could like become R-Truth's buddy. They haven't really had an animal.
Like,
they haven't had a real animal involved with a wrestler in quite some time. And I'm not talking about the fucking bunny or the bull or the gator. I mean like an actual animal. Like they used to have like the parrot. And like
what about the Brahma Bull, Tony?
Or Fifi?
Yeah, was Fifi the last actual animal we saw involved?
It's been a while.
Holy crap. That was like 2005?
What was the name of fucking Tori Wilson's Chihuahua?
Jake Roberts brought the snake back.
Okay, yeah, okay, we had one night of that, but I mean like consistently.
Tori Wilson's Chihuahua.
That was like around the same time, wasn't it?
Yeah. Until like 2006-ish. I think that's when she left.
Oh, hey, Creepers on the Radar is rejoining us. He's been unmuted.
Good for him.
By the way.
I think AJ used to have an animal. She used to bring that dog to her all the time. I think her name was CM Punk. Ugly thing.
Would have been better if he didn't stutter during it.
Yeah, I pulled a Drew.
Awesome. So that would have doomed. You got anything else to say?
I just want to say, curse social media, because if before Instagram, those would have been some hilarious pre-tape segments, which would have been fun to see. Although I did still enjoy getting the little Instagram looks at Dean's journey through New Orleans. And I just want to leave with one last thing. Seth Rollins was called the biggest jackass in WWE history. Obviously, he's not. Triple H, McMahon, people through history. Who do you think is the biggest jackass in WWE history? That's all I got. See you guys later.
All right, Silent One of Doom, appreciate your call as always. Who is the biggest jackass in WWE history? If I had to give a pick, Michael Hayes.
Vince Russo.
Harvey Whippleman.
And I don't... did something stupid that got him kicked out of the company.
What?
Paul Hebner.
Daniel Bryan. Nah, he didn't do something stupid. Choking Justin Roberts is a good thing.
Sure. I don't even know about that. I meant more along the lines of they said something stupid, or like they failed a drug test, or like something along those lines. You know,
Rory McAllister turned up on a fucking TNA event in the crowd and then got fired because of it.
Yeah, that's a strong contender right there. Especially because he was one of the fucking Highlanders.
Oh, Caitlin got fired for stealing an iPad case. You're going by that. Oh, no, yeah, no.
That was Emma.
Wazili's got this by a long shot. Biggest asshole of all time in the wrestling industry is Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
I think we all agree with that.
I don't know, guys. I think Kane's got a shot in this one.
Hey, you've got fucking Jimmy Snuka.
Yeah, because Chris Benoit at least was decent enough to kill himself afterward.
You got Conan.
Conan's not that bad.
He's a bit of a jackass. Come on. I mean,
he's about on the same level of jackassery as X-Pac is.
Yeah, they're just like obnoxious dorks. I mean, they're like harmless.
Nah, see, X-Pac's like a fun jackass. Like, you could be around him for a little bit,
and then eventually you're like, yo, fuck bags.
Yeah, but X-Pac also tore his asshole.
X-Pac's got a goddamn outro written about him doing that. Conan doesn't.
Well, can you name Conan's theme music? Didn't he have like a rap group for a while?
I don't know, but does that mean that the next outro is going to be something about Conan ripping its asshole?
No, but you know what we should do is rap his crap.
Yes, we should.
Because I think that was about Conan. Yeah, that must have been about Conan's rap group.
Huh.
Rap his crap.
You know what's depressing? Conan had a storyline.
Conan had a lot of storylines. Conan was in WCW for a long fucking time. Then he was a big deal in the Mexican scene, and now isn't he on Lucha Underground now?
Yeah, he manages the Puma dude.
Have we gone this long without mentioning Del Rio's shit stains on his white tights? I don't know.
Because they never happened.
Yeah, I believe it happened.
Oh, maybe it'll happen with Bo Dallas.
Has there ever actually been a donkey in wrestling?
I was trying to think of that. Like an actual Lillian jackass. Garcia.
Probably happened in like 1993 WCW. Sounds like something they would do then.
Oh, wait, wasn't Chavo? Didn't he have a donkey?
You mean the Spirit of Eddie Guerrero?
No, that was Eric Escobar.
No, in WCW. Didn't he have a donkey that he came to the ring with? Like a little fake donkey?
I think it was a mule. I think you're right, yeah.
Hang on. It was like a stick. JBL's had one.
Who did?
JBL, because Jillian Hall was his image consultant, and I think she fucked up and couldn't get a horse, and he ended up coming out on a mule.
I think he
there you go. That's the biggest jackass.
Oh, I can't believe we put this much conversation into this. Thank you.
Wow, I'm surprised that was so deep in my head somewhere.
Biggest jackass in WWE history. That guy. That mule.
Creep was on the radar bringing up Conan's time on Lucha Underground saying, yeah, he's in Lucha Underground on dialysis.
Is that the name of his character? Dialysis? It's kind of like missed disease and shit.
So his character is just dying.
Goodness. So we had another matchup featuring two participants in the Money in the Bank matchup. It's Kane versus Dolph Ziggler. Not a very strong matchup for either of these guys. It was just plodding and long. Kane eventually gets the win via pinfall because Dolph Ziggler ain't doing shit right now. Lana's out there during the match. Rusev comes down on his... What the hell? What?
Crutches?
No, the fucking leg brace. That's what I was trying to think of. I don't know how he got Lana to go off. I don't know if he scared her or threw her. She fell off the ramp. She twists her ankle and she's laying there. Okay. So are we going to have both him and Lana coming out together with broken limbs?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I wasn't a fan of this. If you're going to make a huge big deal about someone getting injured, just make it a little more brutal.
Mae Young did take a table bump when she was like 80-something years old.
Yeah, she shouldn't have, and that was fucking stupid.
I don't think it's necessarily to the point where Lana needs to go through a table or anything like that.
No, I'm just saying, we had like four refs and like medical out there for someone just like taking a 1 foot fall, and she takes a table.
Might as well bring the fucking tables back. I mean, we're using the Dudley Death Drop in wrestling again, apparently.
This made a lot of sense, okay? It's very easy to twist your ankle in heels. You see it happen to girls all the time, just when they're like walking around, they'll twist their ankle. So if you're going down a foot, Like, I could easily, in regular sneakers, land my foot wrong if I'm, like, emotional and not paying attention to what's going on, and I could easily fall and crack my ankle. I've been thinking about going around the festival this weekend. If you weren't paying attention to where you were walking, there would be gopher holes around that you could easily drop your foot into and break.
Would have you needed 10 referees to help you back?
I don't think I would find 10 referees there, but Lana, of course she does.
You know, I'm disappointed, though. Lana just turned babyface, and they're going to make her do a heel turn tonight? Fucking stupid. I had to. Come on.
I don't get where they're going. And another reason why they couldn't take it too extreme is because you can't make it look like Rusev's too brutal in this. At this point, it could still be like, well, Rusev didn't mean to do that. What, you got nothing to say because I made a fucking point?
I agree. CD, I could get really angry and agree with you if you want.
Yeah,
well, fucking right, I agree with you. Fucking hell.
We had a Miz TV segment with our special guests Ryback and Big Show after the whole thing that happened last week with Big Show coming out and interrupting the two of their matches. I'm not really sure what this accomplished other than, I guess, just continuing the fact that we might have some kind of triple threat for the title. Like, I'd rather see just Ryback and Big Show. Maybe that's just the one we'll get for now, and then the next month we'll get the triple threat. I think the biggest, most egregious error of this segment, though, I saw that when Swin of Doom brought up, is when Ryback lifts Big Show up at the end of this, hits him with the shell shock, and continues the Feed Me More chant. What a waste. Like, they did. I'm pretty sure they did the same thing with Mark Henry. Like, the week before WrestleMania, they had Ryback pick him up and hit the shell shock on Raw. And then we didn't even get to see it at WrestleMania. Oh, no, we did. He didn't in the match, then he did it afterwards. So that's probably what they're going to do again here. Just as Ryback's starting to pick up steam, fucking have Big Show come down and fall on him while he's doing the damn shell shock.
This segment did make me believe that Ryback's going to lose, and I don't want him to, because I think he's got a future, like a good future as an IC champion. I think he can have a good run with that. Both, as I mentioned earlier, the biggest thing I took away is the mid-card's pretty solid. I mean, John Cena, Kevin Owens, Ryback, Big Show, The Miz, they're doing a lot with these mid-card titles, and I'm enjoying it. I'd rather The Miz have came into the picture kind of later on in the storyline and just let Ryback and Big Show go at it, but it is what it is. I think it's more of a safety net in case Ryback and Big Show have a stinker of a match. A triple threat match might be easier for the viewers to watch.
I'm kind of picturing that maybe Miz is thrown in there because they haven't done anything with him for a while. And if they do something where he's like, he's not announced for the match. They already announced that it's just Big Show and Ryback. They could change it, of course, but that's a good indicator that he probably won't be. Because usually if they want to do a triple threat, they just won't announce something ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this is one of those really kind of like half-assed ways for them to stall. Maybe Miz comes, interrupts the match, and it's like a, you know, no contest kind of thing, and then they have a triple threat at Battleground. Because Big Show interrupted the title match that the Miz had.
Mm-hmm.
Miz comes out, interrupts the title match that Big Show has. Fair is fair.
And then we get another triple threat. Fucking yep. Shit.
Yeah, then we get a triple threat at Battleground, and then by that point, Ryback moves on to, I don't know, something else. Bray Wyatt or something like that for SummerSlam.
Oh boy. Be fun to see that again.
Well, Bray Wyatt's not doing anything. Yeah, he's not doing anything right now.
Not even showing promos.
Yeah, good thing about that. But, I mean, there's a couple other people that Ryback could fight, but he's got to retain the title first. I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, what the fuck is with Bray Wyatt? All right, we're going to have him beat Ryback to get him all fixed back up after the Undertaker loss, and he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
It would make sense to put him in the Money in the Bank, at the very least.
All right, we need to demoralize and destroy any morale that fucking Ryback has so we can win an IC championship. Fucking typical WWE booking.
It's almost as if they're not thinking 1 month in advance.
No, they're thinking 2 weeks in advance, remember?
You're lucky if they fucking think 2 hours in advance.
We had a tag match up tonight. Los Venadores making it on the show for... Surprising. I mean, I understood when they were going into that Elimination Chamber match, but I figured that would be the end for them. But no, they get a matchup here on Raw against the newly reformed Luke Harper and Eric Rowan. Harper and Rowan kicking a lot of ass throughout this and finishing the match with a new finisher for the team, the 3D. I think they actually had a name for it too. Is it The Will, or remember what it was?
That sounds a lot better because I've already said The Wave.
The Way. That's what it's The Way.
Oh.
Like, they'll show you the way. That's kind of cool.
I like it.
Yeah. And then Harper grabs a mic. It says, tick, tick, tock, tick, tock. It's time to pay for your sins. Judgment Day is coming. And Rowan says something about being afraid because you should be. I was almost expecting him to say run. But that's cool. Happy for them. And at least they're getting TV time as opposed to before Elimination Chamber where they were just kind of like forgotten about.
This is the first time I've ever heard Luke Harper or Eric Rowan speak. So I was actually...
And you haven't been paying attention.
Yeah, Luke Harper did a lot of speaking. Remember he was doing the thing with the eyes?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was a while ago, though, wasn't it? That was like back in December-ish.
Maybe 2 months. Still happened.
It's first time I've heard Eric Rowan speak, at least. Maybe. No. He didn't go back. He was backstage saying those one-liners. Remember that?
Yeah. Taking off the stupid mask and then saying something.
Yeah. He spoke a lot as a babyface.
Yeah, it's fucking weird now.
So, you have heard them speak, so continue.
Oh, yeah, my bad. So, anyways, I haven't heard them speak in a while. There we go. You should have let me finish before you interrupted.
Okay.
Kudos.
But, anyways, I don't know. I really enjoyed this segment. I'm a little disappointed they did this with them. They could have done this with the Ascension when they debuted. Like, they could have done a promo along the same lines. But, oh well. I like these two. They had good matches back in 2014. Hey, no complaints here.
I skipped the match. Because I was like, well, fucking Los Matadores has no chance. And by the time I came back to paying attention to the TV, I could see that they were talking. And I couldn't really understand what they were saying because I missed the entire thing. But what stood out to me was... Byron Saxton, he said when they were coming to the ring, something about, well, it looks like the impending apocalypse is coming. And I was just like, damn, that would be a sweet tag team name. Or like a finisher.
I used to play bass for impending apocalypse.
Damn right, dude. Fucking heavy metal.
I don't know. I'm thinking something like the Ring Kings would suit them a lot better. I fucking love the duo, and I love the fact that they're rocking the 3D. It's a great move. Someone should use it. No one's watching the fucking Dudley Boys, so yeah.
Yeah, let's. No, you know who could use the 3D? Bubba Ray and R-Truth.
Maybe that's why R-Truth and him teamed up. He thought he was Devon. Oh, my bad. I'm not Devon. Sorry.
Continue, New Orleans.
We got Big E coming out representing the New Day to face off against Titus O'Neil. Just a big man matchup, lots of throwing each other around, bumping into each other. Eventually, a New Day gets involved, allowing Big E to get the pinfall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kofi Kingston finds out that he has a match next as well against Roman Reigns. Both of these guys participants in the Money in the Bank matchup as well. Roman Reigns getting the victory with a Superman punch as Kofi Kingston's coming off of the top rope, also involving some distraction with the rest of the New Day. Expected. Roman Reigns grabs a chair, places it next to ringside. For who else but Dean Ambrose finally making his way into the arena. Now, anything you have to say about this matchup first, Kofi and Roman?
Very happy with the finish. I like the fact that he beat him with the Superman punch. In fact, I think he should do it more often. If you can build that as a legitimate alternative finisher, then it's a fucking great false finish for main event matches.
Yeah, what he said.
Really? You guys got nothing to say? This is a New Day, everyone's favorite fucking tag team right now, and Roman Reigns, one of the biggest guys in the company. You got nothing to say about this match?
I had something to say.
Well, what do you have to say?
What do I have to say? I already said my piece.
Oh. Don't you hate it when someone says everything you wanted to say before you said
it? Fuck off, you was not going to say anything about that.
All right, well.
To be fair, my recording cut off, so I didn't get to see anything after, like, halfway through the match.
No, that was a good time to tell us that.
Yeah, well, I'm fucking sorry it happened, and then afterwards, it's like, oh, shit. Well,
I guess to be fair, New Day rocks.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, New Day sucks.
Not about the Covey match, but about the Big E one. I did like when they cut back from a commercial and it looked like Big E was just chewing the air. Anybody else notice that?
He's always doing...
He was just like chomping something.
He's always doing weird stuff with his cheeks.
Yeah.
He's a weird looking individual. I can never buy him as a tough guy heel. When he was doing all that bodyguard shit, I'm just looking at him going, you goofy motherfucker. Like, even if you shaved his head and make him grow out a beard, I still don't think that'd work for him.
It was a similar problem with Brodus Clay.
Yeah.
When he first debuted as the bodyguard, I just assumed he was a bigger version of Carlton from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and that's all I could think of.
It's a fair comparison.
I could totally see him doing that dance, too. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure he did do it.
Oh, my God. I kind of want to look that up now. I want to see that dance, him shucking and jiving.
You mean every week? Well, Dean Ambrose makes his way down to the ring. We see Seth Rollins backstage discussing things with the Authority, Triple H and Stephanie. They're pretty much just like, well, did you want to ask us something? Is there something you wanted? No? Well, all right. Have a good night. Triple H is like, asshole moments like that are just so fun. Before we get to the match, speaking of assholes, Machine Gun Kelly's coming back next week, guys.
Oh, boy. I saw that, and I was just like, oh, man.
He's the one that did Cena's entrance, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, he was the one that was doing good up until he mentioned Cena's an underdog, and then they got booed.
I don't care. If he does a performance, that means I get to ignore the television for a little while. And sometimes having a break on these three-hour shows is a good thing.
They're called commercials.
Yeah, where you get to talk about burgers and shit.
To be fair, I've never eaten at Arby's, but I want to.
You've never eaten at Arby's?
Yeah, these commercials are fucking awesome.
You should have
eaten there. Fucking meat!
No, you should have eaten there as soon as Tony did his impression of it. I think that should have been the thing that made you eat there.
He just did what the commercial does, so he's saying that's the commercial that got him to do it.
Go eat there.
First way, go watch the commercial. Daddy ate those fucking sandwiches.
Bum, 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 bum.
Eat a fucking Arby's bum.
Carl's Jr., by the way, tonight, if we're talking about that, made a great commercial that I'm going to start paying attention to them, too. They were like, why did we put a hot dog and chips on a burger? Because fucking America, that's what. Like, damn, if you had a fucking day. Carl's Jr. around me, you got my money. But
you don't have they have Hardee's around you, don't they?
Nope, neither of them.
Oh, it sucks. I have a Hardee's in my town. Yeah. Unfortunately, no one fucking goes there, so.
I think it's a...
Well, tell them about this commercial, and maybe they'll go.
I think it's a Checkers jersey.
Yeah, Checkers is every once in a while, but Checkers...
Well,
yeah.
No, Checkers sucks.
Checkers is...
they're not shouting at me at the commercials.
Okay, so Silent Wind of Doom is bitching because we crept on it for Sonic Shakes.
Well, we were talking about the fucking Arby's burgers. I wish we were talking about something cool. America.
When Sonic starts yelling at me, then I'll pay more attention.
Sonic Shakes!
Drink you should fucking milkshakes! Look at my fucking badges! I got them for fucking drinking shakes!
When yeah. He starts shouting like Sean. You almost went into that voice for a second there.
It's a natural reaction when I do angry voices now.
Our main event tonight, Seth Rollins versus J&J Security, returning to the ring one more time. This match was tons of fun. Not a technical amazing match, but just everything they were doing at this with the hope spots for both Joey and God damn, why do I fucking not get these guys' names right? Joey and Jamie. In the end, J&J actually pull out the surprise victory with a little help by Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose throws in the WWE title to distract Seth Rollins while Joey Mercury runs in and gets the quick roll-up pin. You know, normally there's a place to hate distraction roll-ups. I'm not going to do that here. This was fun. Seth Rollins' words coming back to bite him as he said he doesn't need anybody, and he looks like an asshole. Perhaps the biggest asshole on Raw tonight. Or the biggest jackass on Raw, pardon. Dean Ambrose finds Seth Rollins from behind, hits him with the dirty deeds, and walks away again with the WWE title. So in the end, Seth Rollins not only doesn't win the match, he doesn't get his title match. Well, you better hope he wins on Sunday at Money in the Bank. Whether he'll still have these guys fighting against him, or maybe he'll manage to reconcile before then, we will see. Looking like he's going to need them, though. Any thoughts from you guys?
I think the story that they're telling here is very good. Seth made a declaration that he didn't need the authority. What's the biggest way to make him look like a jackass? Have the two stooges get a win over him and make him look like an absolute fool before going into the pay-per-view. And then when he pulls out this victory out of nowhere, through some new devious ways or a legitimate win, he gets the last laugh, and it's perfect. I think the only negative side is maybe Seth looks a bit weak, so Dean in turn is going to look a little weak losing to him, but it's not that big of a deal.
It's also a ladder match, so you could find some way to like get him tied to a ladder or something and he can't get up.
Yeah, you can't bullshit it. It's not like he's going to get a pinfall over him, so.
Maybe they'll just put the announcer's table on him so he can't get up.
Weighs like 6,000 pounds, you know, so.
All right, then.
All the rungs of the ladder are going to explode. You made a point, though, about the distraction roll-up. This is when you do it and it makes sense. You don't do it for main event people, you know, that should be able to kick each other's asses. You do it with the Stooges winning, because they shouldn't be able to pin Seth Rollins on their own. And if you want to have them win, you know, make them win that way. Regular matches don't. So I was totally down for this. I thought that this was a fun little part. I don't know. It was a little bit weird, though, seeing them come out with Kane's music. And then when they won, it was like, you know, you've got Noble and Mercury celebrating, and it's fucking like, it doesn't suit them at all. But I guess they didn't want to play the old Jamie Noble theme and stuff.
They should have just played Eminem's theme.
How come they never made a J&J security song? They could have made like a Law and Order type theme for them.
Oh, you know what would have been awesome? Their Titantron would have been so lame, but it would have been that good type of lame.
Boom, boom, here comes J&J.
Security. It's J&J security.
Maybe we'll get the bear from Ted 2 to sing it.
Oh, man, I remember, not to give them credit, but when TNA was doing that thing with Abyss, and he was like a lawyer, like, alternative.
Yeah, he was like, what was his name, like John Smith or some shit?
Yeah.
Joseph Park,
yeah.
But he came out, and his Titantron was amazing. It looked just like Night Court. It had like a gavel on it and everything.
Or was it a mallet?
No, it was definitely a gavel.
I think it was a mallet. It was definitely a mallet.
Maybe it was just a hammer.
Yeah, TNA would be dumb enough to have like a actual hammer.
I don't know, if you listen to Mike, they won the Wednesday Night Wars.
I'm telling you. I mean, I still haven't gotten to watch this past week's Lucha Underground, so maybe that was on top. But when I compare last week's TNA to the Ring of Honor show, which fucking sucked, and the NXT show, which was just kind of blah, TNA actually stole the night.
Well, what was wrong with ROH's show? Was it just bad production? Quality show?
There was bad production, but I expect that. Everybody just sucked. Like, their champion, this fucking Briscoe guy. What a fucking jackass. Yeah, that guy fucking was terrible. He looks like a fucking goober. I fucking hate him.
So, is he a heel?
No, I think he's like their baby. I think he's a babyface. Oh, yeah.
If he's a heel, then he's doing a good job.
No, he's fighting against Jay Lethal, who's the heel.
Oh, god damn it.
Jay Lethal's a heel instead of this dude?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Jay and Mark Briscoe are being kind of those long-standing Ring of Honor guys that have had a lot of good matches over the years in tag action. For some reason, they see something within Jay Lethal as a main event star. Whilst he's the most talented of the two, he's still not that guy.
They're just watching old Randy Savage tapes, and they're like, that guy looks like a star.
They had some squash match on the show, too, and this guy, Moose, he actually was kind of cool. He was probably my favorite guy I saw on the show. But he beat up freaking one of the announcer's kids. That's who they're pushing on there. One of the announcer's kids is going to be a wrestler.
Moose is going to be in Global Force.
Is he? Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. I can like watching him there then. Fuck Ring of Honor.
He used to be like a tag partner of UHA Nation.
Okay. Okay. I could dig.
Moose. He's got his own theme song, like he did it, and it's just kind of like, Moose.
And when he comes out, he just does like a little fist pump, and like the entire crowd does it with him. Yeah, that guy has something. But besides that, I didn't see anything worth watching again. So bad first showing for Ring of Honor. TNA, maybe hope for you yet. And his name is EC3.
The man.
EC3.
Underrated in WWE. He should have won that season of NXT.
I feel like we've had this discussion like every fucking week now.
Chon brings up EC3 quite a bit.
He shouldn't have won that season of NXT. He sucked then.
He did suck then.
He went away and he got awesome. He went away and he got better.
Chicks in America, dude. Chicks in America.
I think he should have won because that whole segment they did with like the Do You Know You're Pro? And he's just like,
yeah, that was the segment with the Chicks in America.
Yeah. Didn't
that was so great.
What was he, season 2 or 4?
Two.
4.
I thought it was 2.
I'm pretty sure it was 4 because 2 was Caval and Alex Riley and them.
Was he a part
of Caval?
Yes, so he must have been 4 then. Who won 4?
Mm-hmm. Johnny Curtis.
Johnny Curtis, that's right.
Whatever happened to that guy?
Hey, at least he has a
job.
He
got a chip on his shoulder and he cried over spilled milk and then he became Fandango.
After he cut the mustard.
Yeah.
After he fucking chased some girl backstage with a chloroform rag. Fucking creep.
That happened?
Yeah,
that was on one of the old NXT episodes.
He was playing like a greaser character for a little bit. Wasn't it Caitlyn? I think it was Caitlyn.
I don't know, but he was sneaking behind someone with like a chloroform rag and I'm like, damn, it's dark.
That's because Vince didn't pay attention at that point.
How about that main event of Raw? No, I think we got all our talk out of that. It was a very fun segment. Rollins looks like a jackass going into Money in the Bank. I look forward to that match and actually a lot of things on Money in the Bank. Actually, I didn't even realize this was a go-home show.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
You know what I look forward to? The time where we have a little bit of a break between pay-per-views. God damn, I'm getting tired of making all these images up.
Well, all things considered, they're building these pay-per-views pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, there was that report where creative, apparently, they like this better because they don't have to drag things out. And that's true, they don't.
Maybe that's just their writing style, because they write for TV normally. So maybe they're used to just getting things going through quicker.
You know what? I don't like it, but thinking about the way these guys write, we always say they blow their load too quick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not at least they're blowing their load when it comes to these pay-per-views, because they happen so often. It's not the right way to book, but...
Sometimes you gotta know your style. Build your strengths.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think they'll do this every month. They won't have a special event.
Yeah, they're gonna get worn out after a while.
I'm gonna get worn out.
I already am.
I mean, shit, unless they bring back the Great American Bash for July, fuck me.
I could see them stopping this during the months where the big pay-per-views are, like WrestleMania season and SummerSlam. Yeah. But the rest of the months, I can see them do it. Because it's a big push for the network, too.
Mm. Well, I mean, if they do something before Battleground, like, they got to announce it soon.
If they really want to take advantage of the special events on the network, they really need to do a bragging rights between NXT and the main roster.
Ooh, I'd like that, actually. Sweet.
I don't know if they do that in the same month as Survivor Series, but because that's when they fucking did bragging rights, is back to back like that, but... I would be down for something like that.
They could even build something out of that off of this Owen Cena feud.
Yeah, because he is the NXT champion.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be perfect.
They could be the captains of the teams.
Ooh.
Very perfect to do that right before Battleground, especially because Battleground is something that has no gimmick attached to it. You do the kind of thing where we're building up the troops for Battleground. Go ahead with that. Do a fucking War Games bragging rights. There you go. Fuck.
Yeah, this all sounds way too fun and they'll never do it.
Have Big Show on your team. He's got a gun. He's already there.
No, he's already on the field of the battlegrounds.
Nah, instead, they'll do something where it'll be like, all right, guys, 2 weeks from now, we're going to do, like, I don't know.
Dolph Ziggler versus the New Day or some shit.
We're going to do a special event revolving around Sheamus versus Randy Orton.
But this time.
Yay.
So, just a question. The July 4th show, do you consider that a pay-per-view? Like, quality? Or...
No, that's a special.
So it was Elimination Chamber.
But that is something that's pretty... I'm talking about, this is just like a random thing that they're showing. I doubt they're even going to push that. I've seen one thing on a program promoting that show, and that was William Regal talking about the Kevin Owens-Finn Balor match.
Oh, fuck, I sold it for me right there.
Are you talking about the Japan show?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Are they not videotaping that?
Oh, no, they're broadcasting on the network. It's going to be at like 6:30 a.m.
Yeah, I'm going to catch that on the replay.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless I'm just having one of those. We know Tony will watch that live.
Yeah, I'll be up. I'll be wide awake. All right, guys, anybody want to do a post-show thing? No? 8:30 in the morning?
No. Isn't 8:30 in the morning?
No, it's 6:30 in the morning.
No, afterward.
Yeah, we'll probably end at 8:30, so we'll do it then.
Yeah. Well, it seems like we're done talking about Raw, so let's wrap things up with our last bit of Raw talk, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yes, it's the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we discuss our favorite part of the show, our least favorite part of the show, and the most avoidable, ugly, terrible part of the show. We invite you in the chat room to give your good, bad, and ugly. I'll read that off at the end, but first, let's see what the hosts say. Wago, what do you got?
All right, for my good, I'm going to give it to the Kevin Owens and Neville matchup. Great outing. That's how you start the show. You start it strong with some great wrestling. I wish they would have cut the promo work a bit short, but either way, solid segment. As far as the bad goes, it's going to go to the Brie Bella and, shit, what was the blonde woman's
name again?
Summer Rae. Fuck, that shows you how much I give a shit about that. The ugly actually goes to a promo prior.
A promo prior?
Her promo prior.
Oh, okay. I see.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right, Tony, you're good, bad, and ugly.
Good's going to go to R-Truth, coming in there, making me laugh. Not really accomplishing all that much, but... that was something that broke it up, and it made me like the segment a whole lot more. You're not even in the match. It was like, yeah, he isn't. And how great to capitalize off that character that he unfortunately ended up doing before when it was like, Green Bay, what's up? Boo. Like, you know, now you're going to have him come out and be like, oh, I'm not in this match? All right, shit. The best part about it was Ziggler and Reigns laughing in the ring because it kind of felt like it was like it wasn't supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. Clearly it was, but I like that a lot. The bad is going to go to Byron Saxton on commentary. In particular, one thing that stood out to me, when they're given their little quick insert advertisements, and it's like, Raw Tonight is brought to you by Just For Men, Just For Men. If you have your graying hair and you want to spend some money, then buy this shit and whatever. Byron Saxton has like nothing afterward. He goes, and brought to you by Little Caesars. And it's like he's just watching his watch, just like 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Okay, now back to Raw. Like it just was awkward as hell. And Byron Saxton is just not that good. He's fine for doing backstage interviews and stuff, but he's not a commentator at all. And he really is not a commentator for Raw.
I thought Michael Cole was the one that comes down during Raw.
Isn't Byron Saxton the same guy they sent out there the night after WrestleMania when everything went to shit?
Yep.
Yeah, and he stunk the fucking joint out. Mm-hmm.
Guy's they've terrible. Been on his case lately, though, I think. Like, I think that they know that he, like, kind of sucks. Because I was watching one NXT episode. I don't remember if it was last week or the week before or something. But Corey Graves was just kind of like, yeah, it's obvious that you guys never fucking wrestled and that you guys suck balls or whatever. And Byron Saxton just looked at the camera like, the hell did I do? What? Like,
this really must show that they must not, that at least management mustn't watch SmackDown because he's been on there for a while now and they didn't realize he sucked then. Mm-hmm. So they still sit the back.
They probably know he sucks. That's why he's on SmackDown so that they can edit it and have him do voiceovers to fix any lines he sucked on.
I think the entire reason, and it sounds horrible, that he's on there is because they like to have a black guy on there. It's like the same reason they want to bring Renee into that role. It's good PR.
Well, my ugly is going to be the same as Wago's. That's going to be the generic, horrible promos that the Divas cut tonight. Paige doing her whole thing about, you got to change your environment, and if you don't like people, then it's a shame. And Nikki just kind of being like, I guess I'm a bitch again, so fuck you. You know, I got a nice body, and that's all you need. Not a fan of that whatsoever. Just terrible. I didn't even watch the match. So I can't even comment on the Summer Rae match, but I'm sure it was just as bad, if not worse. And that's really a shame considering how much better the NXT people are, both on promos and in the ring.
All right, take a few out of the chat room here. Silent One of Doom says, good, R-Truth doesn't know the card for Money in the Bank. Bad, concern over Lana falling and tripping and sitting on her ankles while pretending to be hurt. Ugly, wasting the Ryback and Big Show spot. Happy Pope, our good friend Sean Walker, says the good, Neville versus Owens. The bad, Neville's ears. And ugly, the kid from last week still has cancer. All right, then.
That was fucking dark.
For me, the good I'm going to give to our main event, J&J Security against Seth Rollins. That was a very, very fun match. My bad, I am going to give Randy Orton and Sheamus. Just tuning out of this match so goddamn much. I've seen it 500 times. I'm sure there's someone out there who was seeing this match for the first time. Chances are it wasn't you. And my ugly I'm going to give to Everything with the Divas tonight. It's been a while because I've really been trying to be positive with them and trying to see the light, but there's nothing good with this. It was all dark. Hopefully they can improve on that next week. And well, that's going to be it. Let's head into the plugs. Wago, your plugs?
All right. If you want to go over to StephenWago.com, that will take you to my SoundCloud where you can find the newest episodes of Wago Rants, including all my social media links. So check that out, StephenWago.com.
All right. Drew, anything to shout out there?
Well, since Sean was too fucking lazy to get on, check out his shit, because, you know, he could chat, but he can't use... Oh, wait, no, he doesn't have a laptop. Never mind. You don't get a shout-out.
All right, shut up, Drew. Tony, do your shit.
Well, I'm not going to plug Sean's stuff. SmartGoutMoment.com for the wrestling side of things like that. Make sure you check out Smack Talk this week, where we'll be doing our predictions for the pay-per-view. Next week, when the pay-per-view happens, we'll be doing live coverage, so make sure you go there. Check out the Outside Interference articles that come up later on this week as well. Go to FanboysAnonymous.com to check out the geek culture side of things. And if we end up doing an all-talk show, maybe, I don't know, then go to All Talk Show on all the different avenues that you can find there. If you find us on Facebook, you will find links to everything else.
All right, folks, if you enjoy this show, please support us in many numbers of ways. Top way to do that is by heading over to patreon.com/megapowersradio and doing a monthly donation to us for as little as $1 to help us grow and get new things, such as equipment, websites, everything to help us get into the next level. If you can't afford the spare change, though, you can keep supporting us by joining us live every single week following Raw here on MegapowersRadio.com. And check out all the other awesome program on MegapowersRadio.com, including our new show, The Next Gen Podcast, where just like this for Raw, we're going to run down what we thought about each week's NXT program. We've had a lot of requests for us to talk about NXT for quite a while now, and we will pick up a spot here and there. We'll talk about the pay-per-views or any big news. But now, you can hear us chat about it every single week. It's one of the best shows on TV, so I'm happy to get that out there and talk about it. Find that on megapowersradio.com. And you can find both of those shows and pretty much everything we do on iTunes, Stitcher, Radio, YouTube. We try to make them as available to everybody as possible. So, for everyone here on Mega Powers Radio, Tony Mango, Drew White, Stephen Huego, and everyone out there in the chat room that called in, thank you for joining us. This has been the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. We'll catch y'all on the flip-flop.